Say what? Ho, this is Brian. Do you know my name, Gardner? Coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic, beautiful and scenic Hesper, Ontario. You are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 119. Ramble on Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to rambleonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might happen to mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes, pick it up. Train does Led Zeppelin too. Picking up the new Dexys Midnight Runners album. Google Ramble on Radio. Get over to where the podcast is and leave a review. Leave a quick review. It helps Apple's algorithms find us and track us and It's just one of the things those algorithms look for is reviews. It doesn't have to be a good review, by the way. It's review. A review equals popularity to the algorithm. It doesn't have to be 5 stars or 1 star. You can find us on Podbean at I'm Brian Dammit. You can listen on Spreaker. And be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. And also now, we are on Stitcher Radio. You can check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube, Ramble on Blog, Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. But don't bother with... I don't know. Does anybody use Google+? Google+ is possibly one of the great failures of the internet age. Do you know anybody who uses it? Do you know anybody who promotes their stuff on it? I ignore it completely every once in a while. Like once every 6 months I pop over and nobody has commented on anything over there. Nobody has tried to contact me over there. Wow. So anyway, but I'm on Google Plus. If you really want to try and get a hold of me over there, try. Maybe they send emails. I don't know. They're a communications company, so they might communicate the fact that somebody posted on my wall. I don't know. Okay. All right, on the intro. The intro you heard, Sick Again, the second song from the set on February 10, 1975, Keppel Center, Landover, Maryland. A new bootleg. That is a soundboard recording. A new bootleg has been released. A new, newly found soundboard recording by Empress Valley of that night. And that's from that. That song is from that. And actually, that's going to be... Our topic is going to be these soundboard bootlegs that have emerged over the last couple of years. The last 3 or 4 or 5 years, there's been a bunch. And... from 75 and 77. And I'm going to go. I got a little basic information on that. I'm going to play another couple. I'm going to outro with a song from the Maryland show, February 10 show. And I'll throw another one in the middle. As we start talking about it, I'll throw one in there. I should point this out. New rule here. You wonder why sometimes it takes so long to get things done. I apologize, I had a little holiday, and then we came back, and we had to race off to a place called Perry Sound, which is 2-3 hours north of here, for medical reasons. All I'm at liberty to say, but not me, I'm fine, everybody's actually fine, but there was medical reasons to race off, drop life and race off, and So I've been researching this episode for actually about 2 weeks. So I was really ready to go on it. I just had to sit for half an hour and piece together what information I'd found. And I kind of sat and did that. And then yesterday we're going to roll it. And 18 minutes in, my computer crashed. I lost the podcast. So new rule, I'm going to stop the podcast every once in a while and save. GarageBand really needs to have an autosave function, I think. So if you can't, if it seems funny, if it seems like there's drop in, drop outs, you shouldn't. I do this sometimes anyway. If you hear me going, oh, what was the name of that guy? And then suddenly I have the name. Chances are really good I stopped the podcast, Googled his name, something like that. That happens. So, and it's really not very noticeable. So you probably won't notice. But if you kind of hear... That was funny. Was that a funny edit or something? It's probably just me stopping to save. And I will try to do it every 5 minutes before a segment anyway, you know? So, yeah. Okay, so let's do the In History. 1948, May 31st, about a week ago, actually, John Bonham was born. Remarkably, on the same day, 25 years later... Led Zeppelin played the LA Forum, a famous show known as Bonzo's Birthday Bash. And we don't know why Bonzo's birthday would appear on John Bonham's birthday. We're working on why that would be so. Don't email me, I know. Famous after party, famous bootleg, quite a big show. They sang Happy Birthday to Bonham at the LA Forum, with Robert leading the crowd. George Harrison was famously at the show. It would be the show where he asked Richard Cole, how long do you guys play? And Richard Cole said, 3.5 hours. And Harrison answered, geez, when we were with the Beatles, we did 30-minute sets, and in a good night, we could run that down to 20, or something like that. Anyway, I don't have the quote in front of me, but, So, a local kind of paper, number 5 years ago, I'm going to say, one of the guys ran a humorous bit on, you know, the music he liked, and he mocked Led Zeppelin for their 20-minute drum solos, and then highly praised the Beatles, of course, as the must-listen band. And I wrote a response to him, they appeared in it was a website, but then there's a local, like, magazine that ran both pieces side by side, and my response was, I kind of mentioned that 20-minute, you know, the Beatles, of course they didn't do 20-minute drum solos in the Beatles, they didn't do 20-minute shows, it was part of my response. So, anyway, that's Bonzo's famous birthday bash. George Harrison was there, and I think stuff went in the pool, and Keith Moon might have been there. They had a night. The sort of night that would make the tabloids now be scandalous now. Twitter would be going crazy with, what's wrong with these lunatics? Aren't you glad you didn't grow up in the Twitter era? June 2nd, 1973, two nights after the Bonzo's birthday bash show, was the famous Kazar Stadium show. This is a big outdoor festival. This is the one where Robert famously had the dove on his hand, the picture of, and there was some other stuff happened at that show, and some famous pictures from that show. Okay, today, June 7, 2008, so 9 years ago. 8 years ago. What year is this? Is this 16? God, I don't know. Yeah, it's got to be 16. So 8 years ago. Yeah, I'm not getting old here, people. Don't worry about me at all. I'm not. If only I'd be worried if I could remember to be worried. In 2008, John Paul Jones and Jimmy Page appeared with the Foo Fighters at Wembley Stadium. That was much talked about at the time, and was of course immortalized in the Foo Fighters Live at Wembley Stadium DVD. They came out for the encore. They played Rock and Roll and Ramble On. I have the DVD here. You can hear me clicking that. And the final song of the night was Best of You. But Rock and Roll and Ramble On were the next two songs, the second last song and third last song. If I recall correctly, Foo Fighters drummer Tyler Hawkins sang Rock and Roll, Dave Grohl sang Ramble On. Definitely Hawkins sang one of the two songs. I could have that flipped, but I'm almost positive I don't. How's that? Because Grohl wanted to drum on that song, I think. That was kind of part of the thing on Rock and Roll. So, yeah, I think it was Hawkins sang Rock and Roll and Dave Grohl drummed. What's the past tense of drumming? To drum, drummed. Doesn't sound good. Drummed, I guess, but it doesn't sound right. And Ramble On. Dave Grohl sang, and Tyler Hawkins drummed. So, that was 8 years ago. In 2005, on the 11th of June, Jimmy Page was awarded the OBE, Order of the British Empire, and I believe makes him a sir. On the 12th of June, 1941, Roy Harper was born. 25 years later, on the 15th of June, Jason Bonham was born. So we'll celebrate kind of 75 years for Roy Harper next week, and 50 for Jason Bonham. So meanwhile, we have the big Stairway to Heaven trial coming up in the next week or two, I guess. I think it's next week. And I'll be keeping a close eye on that for you if anything really weird develops. And one of the things I should do this week is see if I can find somebody who can comment on this intelligently. Somewhere, somebody must be able to do so. Yeah, it'd be good to get a lawyer who's into copyright / entertainment law in California and be able to communicate with them. I don't know. But anyway, because of the lawsuit, Robert Plant's going to be in Los Angeles, had to withdraw his show at the Meltdown Festival in the Royal Festival Hall in London. Subsequently, the Meltdown Festival has melted down. And here's the comment from, in view of this as well as various other factors unrelated to Robert Plant's withdrawal, we have decided to cancel The Boat We're In, which is the name of the show he was doing. All tickets will be refunded automatically to the original payment method. Ultimately the festival was canceled when Robert, and you wonder if, because Robert Plant could easily said, look, I have to leave on the Friday and be back on the Tuesday. I have a show to do. I have a prior commitment. Here it is. Of course, not going to make him sit there. And why he needs to be there, the guitar part is in question. Nothing else. So why he needs to be there for the whole thing, I'm not sure I understand, to be honest with you. I don't know. There you go. So I kind of think that something was wrong anyway. And Plant maybe said, okay, look, I'm out. If you guys can't guarantee there's going to be a show, I'm going to have to withdraw. And they said, well, if you're going to withdraw, then there's not going to be a show. It sounds like there was something else going on in the background. And, Plant ultimately decided, maybe I should just withdraw. And that was the final straw that caused the meltdown of the meltdown. Okay, here's a rumor that hit about a week and a half ago, went away just as fast. Rumor of a BBC Sessions expanded box set coming. I would say the way this rumor hit, and now I emailed a few people to see if there's any truth to it, asking if there's any truth to it, and got no response whatsoever. I kind of think it's a out of left field thing. Look, if this happens, it means Jimmy Page is not doing what he's promised he's doing, which is working on new music. I don't think there's that much that can be done with the BBC box set anyway. I just don't see a reason for it, and especially not a reason that would take Page away from actual productive activity. Maybe in 5 years from now, Page is a little older, and he's definitely not, he's definitely retired. Maybe you start looking at things like the BBC Sessions. But they are what they are. Why kind of expand on them unless, I don't know. This is happening. Definitely, it's been confirmed by, I think, all the sources, Black Country Communion. They're calling it a reunion, and not really a reunion. They went their own ways for a couple of years, only a couple of years ago, right? So, and although it seemed like a very public split up, they're now saying, and nasty split up, they're now kind of saying, well, it wasn't really a nasty split up. It sounded like it, but, you know, Joe just had different priorities than the rest of us, and the rest of us wanted to continue, and Joe wanted to, and we understood that. So, whatever it is, Bonamassa has done a couple of really nice blues albums, but I don't know that his career has taken off. So maybe he's decided, you know, here's the place where I can make the career take off. Maybe he's tired of writing all the songs and singing all the songs. I don't know. But it sounds like a reunion is coming. One hopes that they've had this discussion this time beforehand about what exactly that means. Does that mean a tour? Does that mean a full tour? Does that mean a year commitment? Does that mean, you know, two albums, two real tours, a real North American tour, etc., etc.? Do we pump this band? Or does it mean they're going to throw off an album, do a half dozen shows, and everybody goes back to their own world? Maybe that's all it is. And that's fine, too, because they were doing that before, and they were some good albums. Here's another one. This was more interesting. This is pique your interest stuff. Them crooked vultures changed the profile picture on Facebook. So the question is, why? What could that possibly mean? It's not much. Nothing had happened on their Facebook page for a couple of years. Suddenly there's a new picture. And then you look at the thing and you go, Dave Grohl's not doing anything these days. Jumbo Jones has finished the opera. Queens of the Stone Age aren't doing anything. And he's got another band. Can't even think of his name offhand. Josh Homme. He's got, doesn't seem to have anything on the list. So maybe they're sitting down to see if there's some songs to record. Maybe they're working something out. And of course, maybe somebody who works for the company that does their Facebook page, got bored one Tuesday afternoon and decided to change the picture. Who knows? Maybe album sales dipped to a certain point and they said, well, you know, every time we change the picture, we get a bump in album sales. So who knows what it means, but it's probably worth keeping an eye on, isn't it? And if I hear anything, I'll let you know, obviously. Which is why I won't hear anything, probably. Finally, we talked a couple episodes back, about Train does Led Zeppelin 2. The band Train was recreating Led Zeppelin 2. It is done, it is out, it is in the world. It is not bad. The question would stand at, why exactly would you do this? They don't reinterpret the album. Let's be clear on this. They don't reinterpret it. They do it note for note, word for word, bang on, recreation of the album. However, because they're doing it with modern musical instruments, with modern recording techniques, it sounds somewhat different, tonally, feel-wise. It's not, and if you're just kind of a casual music listener, you might never catch it. To me, it's blatantly obvious, especially in the guitars, but also in the drums, I think. And what to say, like, they stereo mic'd John Bonham's drums. Basically, they put one to the right and one to the left and crossed them, you know, in an X sort of formation, so that they were picking up the sounds from across the drums, and you were 8 inches away, which means you're also picking up room, and the mix was done by the drummer, not by the mixer. Nowadays, they mic every drum individually. They run it through its own compressor, they can sample it, they can say, I don't like the sound of that drum, and change it. And just do that to one, you know. So in a world where that's what you do, you're not going to sound like John Bonham with two microphones, you know, in kind of a big studio. In a world, if you listen to the tracks, there was a bootleg came out. It was half of Led Zeppelin 2. It was a 4-disc bootleg, I think it was. And each disc had one song on it, or two songs. That was 4-track. It was recorded on a 4-track machine. And the tracks were all... so this was the individual tracks, okay, is what it was. And if you listen to it, you hear bleed over. You hear vocals in the guitar track. You hear things like that. You hear various other instruments in the different tracks. That affects how it sounds, right? And that's not going to happen in a modern studio, no matter what you do, and you never recreate that exactly anyway. So it's not a recreation, it's not a perfect recreation. It's a note-for-note, yes, recreation. Is it a word for, yes, does he miss a single line of vocal? I would say no. I haven't studied it exactly, but I didn't notice anything like that. But it doesn't sound quite the same. And so the question becomes, it's not, and some people, oh, it's an aberration, it's a disgusting whatever, you know, like the social media fools. And that's not true. It's not bad. What I'm not sure I get is why it was done. Put this another way, why would I listen to this instead of Led Zeppelin 2? And the only thing I can possibly come up with is the thinking is, well, from their perspective, maybe they just said, we want to do this. It's an album we love. We've always played the songs on it. Maybe I just want to do this. Maybe this is just, I want to have a go at this. Sounds like a fun project. Which is fine. That's an acceptable answer. And from a fan, maybe Train is a fan set that not Led Zeppelin fans, and this is the only thing I can kind of come around and get my head around to. And so maybe they're kind of pointing them in the direction of Led Zeppelin. Look, this is, you know, listen, you like this album, you should go check out the original. That's the positive side of it I can see. But I don't know. Okay. That sounds yeah, sure. But that's about the only positive I can really... not the only positive. I should... It, look, it's not a bad album. It's not a bad album. And you're not going to hate. You're not going to listen to it. Oh, can't believe they ruined this album like this. It's nothing like that. But did they really add anything to what's out there already? I'm not so sure they did. So that's, you know, that's that. Oh, well. Okay, so I got to pick a song. I'm going to pick a song here for the mid-cup podcast break, which is a new thing. This is from the Landover soundboard. I'm just kind of looking at the list. I think I'll go with Over the Hills. We started with something off the intro. I wanted to... I'll mention it after. So here is... Let's do Over the Hills and Far Away. We'll be right back. That was Over the Hills and Far Away, Landover, Maryland, February 10, 1975, the most recent bootleg released on the Empress Valley Supreme Disc bootleg label. And kind of funny, they don't have a website of their own. If you Google Empress Valley, you find a place called Bootlegopedia that gives everything that they release. But if you, I asked around a bit, and there's two that I kind of came up with, and I will try to remember to post these on the webpage in the next couple of days. One is called Disc Japan, and this is easy, DiscToJapan.com. You can search by artist, and it all comes up. And they have all sorts of stuff. Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience did bootlegs. So they, yeah, various. And he was in Empress Valley, Blitzkrieg over Zurich, EVSD 7071, 5,700 yen. So I'm not sure. Hey, I'm not sure what exactly that is. The other one is called, this is an Audible one. It just comes up. It's got an order email. It's airraid_tokyo@bc4, blah, 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 blah. I'll kind of put, you know, and they have a webpage of available, www.002.upp.so-net/blah, blah. That's the one I'll try and post. And it has, so Ultraviolent Killer's Droog is a 6-CD set. It's $218, and that's the one we're listening to clips from now. I'm guessing is some 6-CD, because it's got a bonus 3Ds. It's 3Ds with a bonus 3Ds, I think, is what it is. Because the show itself is only 3 CDs. Now, Empress Valley, everything we're going to mention, these are all bootlegs that have been released in the last couple of years. They're all of them. What would you say? Soundboards. So they're not some guy standing in the audience with a microphone, and you hear the drunk buddy beside you singing. Which those are good. Those can be real. Some of those are really good, actually. Sometimes they're better. The soundboard problem with the soundboards is, everything on the stage is mic'd, right? And then it goes out through the PA, and basically somebody sticks a tape recorder into an output on the soundboard, and you get a recording of the show. But it tends to be very dry. It doesn't have any room ambiance, doesn't have any, you know, when you record in the studio, you kind of add ambiance, you kind of add reverb, which is a little bit of ambiance into the sound, because it doesn't sound right to the human ear if it's pure and clean. And this tends to be pure and clean. It tends to not have a lot of room ambiance. Sometimes that'll get fixed, and sometimes the mix can be weird because the mix is you know, kind of designed for a different setting than recording. What often happens with these is they hit the internet, and then some guy will take them and run them through his filters and his processing software, and what you get is, you know, he kind of gives it a little bit of professional treatment. Same with, you know, if Jimmy Page got a hold of these shows and decided to release them, they would get stuff added in, they would get effects added in to make them sound just better to the ear. So that's a kind of, you know, thing that would happen. Now, this show that would never see the light of day officially, because Robert Plant's voice is really shot in it. You probably heard it in both songs. But let me give you an example. I kind of cut this from Sick Again. This is the very opening lines of Sick Again. you can hear the hoarseness in Plant's voice there. And now he's had problems. This is the 75 tour. They canceled the show. I think I have written this down, but maybe not. They canceled January 27th show in St. Louis. That was 2 weeks earlier. They started in the 18th in Minneapolis, and his voice was rather bad from then. And as we get into this run of shows, starting with the Landover, and it improves. And you get into this like the second leg of the tour, the third leg of the tour, I guess. In March, his voice is much better, and things are starting to really run well. But you can hear there, and there was, the opening words in Over the Hills and Far Away. He was kind of a little, his voice was a little shot, just hoarse. So he's having a rough time on this night. So they would never release that, because that can't be corrected. It would have to be Robert Plant replaces the vocals, and he's not about to do that now. But that's what you get with bootlegs. You get what it was on the night. And this is actually a pretty good one. I like this one, except for Plant's voice, which is... And it's not awful. He's not singing out of tune or something. He's just struggling with his voice. And that's... Yeah, a few of the people... I asked Brown a bit about this show, and a few people said the same thing. Decent show, but Plant's voice, especially early in the show, is not good. And which is a fair complaint. Some of the later shows are much better. And as they get into L.A. and Long Beach and San Diego in March 12th, that sort of thing, you're getting into much better shows. And those are available, by the way. Those are available. So that's out there. That's the Landover. And here's the ones that have come up in the last while. And I don't have reviews of all of them. I think, all of these somewhere. But I'm kind of, I throw them on. I throw them in and listen to them once or twice and I don't remember, and I don't really remember one from the other. Oh, that, the Dallas on the 4th versus the Dallas on the 5th of March. So I would have to sit and spend hours and hours listening to this stuff, which, as you can guess, is not about to happen in the near future. Just don't quite have the time for that. And then I would have to make notes because you'd still forget. Oh, okay, what was that show? Yeah. Anyway, so here are the shows that have been released in the last couple of years as soundboards by all of them by Empress Valley. As far as I can make out, all of them by Empress Valley. Landover, Maryland, this one, February 10. This is 1975. February 10, 1975. February 12, 1975 in Madison Square Gardens. February 13, 1975 at Nassau Coliseum. February 14, 1975 at Nassau Coliseum. February 16, 1975 in St. Louis. And that is a run of shows. That is six shows or five shows in a row. There's no breakup. And then there's some break time. There's three or four shows in there. And then we get into Baton Rouge on the February 28th. And then there's a five-day break. But this is the next show on the tour. Fort Worth, Texas, March 3rd, 1975. Dallas on the 4th and 5th. Of March 1975, Long Beach, California, on the 11th, so another week later, the 11th and 12th, 1975, San Diego, on the 14th of March 1975, Seattle, on the 17th of March 1975, Vancouver, on the 19th and 20th of March. And that from February 28 in Baton Rouge to Vancouver on the 20th of March 1975 is a run of shows. That was the way the tour went. So the big gaps in there were big gaps in the tour. And I think, I'm trying to think of which show it was. Maybe it was 77. One of these shows had Ron Woods appear on stage. Ron Wood appear on stage. But I think it was a 77. And I thought it was released. I'll say nothing. Maybe it was not. Maybe it was an audience recording. Came out a couple of years ago of that show. It was in New York anyway. It was like in Long Island. But I don't think it was... I do not think it was NASA. Anyway, then there's the 1977 shows. And again, this is all a run of shows. Houston, on May 21st, 1977. Fort Worth, Texas on May 22nd. Landover, Maryland on the 25th, 26th, and 28th and 30th. Of May 1977. Again, that's four shows in a row in Landover, Maryland. It's six shows in a row on the tour. And all have been released as soundboards on Empress Valley. And then Madison Square Garden on the... Well, today, the 7th of June, 1977, the famous run of six at Madison Square Gardens started today. And that show is also the first of those shows is available. And it would actually be cool to close out this show with one of the songs from that set. But I don't think I have that handy, so that's not going to happen. You'll have to suffer through the 1975. But, so there you go. That's kind of what's out there. Like I say, I'll post the links if you're interested in buying these. They are available. What happens is they get sold in a very limited edition. And the first thing somebody does is they announce these are going to be released. And a week later, it's for free online. Somebody actually spends $300 to buy this stuff. And then the first thing they do is make it freely available to everybody else. Kind of astounding to me. It's weird, isn't it? That you don't say, I spent $300. You want it? You spend $300. And by the way, if you go through this, I'm just going through the list here. Like, there's 1972 Charlotte, two CDs, 1972 69 Charlotte, North Carolina, $15. So some of these are really rather expensive. Some run, there's a set of the entire run of Earl's Court is $650. But there's, like I say, there's $15 for Charlotte, 1972. So they're out there, reasonably inexpensive. Maple Leaf Gold, $48, a whole bunch of $48 ones. And that's at the O2UPPSO.net, whatever. Complete BBC radio sessions, four CDs, $60. That's actually not a bad deal. I would buy more. I would buy these if they were LPs. I'm not nuts on buying CDs like this. It's not... I just don't listen to CDs very much. I would rather have it on an LP. If they were making these available on LPs for these prices, I would buy them once in a while. Here's one, by the way, the other side. Other labels, not Empress Valley. This is... L.A. Forum, 1972, 625-72, Burn Like a Candle, three CDs, numbered, 200 only, brand new, $46. So there's not bad deals to be had if you want to on some of these bootlegs. I guess I should qualify. Look, there's legal issues around them. They don't seem to be a big deal. Buying them doesn't seem to be an issue. But, some people... would object on certain grounds, and I understand that, and you're even right, but that's the way it goes. Anyway, that's where it's at. That's the state of the affairs. There is more of these to come, by the way, or at least that's I kind of put out for information, and that was one of the things I got told was, there's likely a couple more coming. And they kind of release every 3 to 6 months, I think, and that's that. All right, so I'm going to close it out with, excuse me a second while I bring up the files. I think I'm going to go... See how hard it is to get anything done? That was my phone. That was my wife on my phone. I won't explain to you why I have Rosalita as my ringtone for my wife, but it's an old story. I'm going to close it. We're going to close out here with Black Dog. Black Dog is, they closed the show with Heartbreaker. They did Whole Lot of Love into Black Dog. It was like a minute and a half of Whole Lot of Love. I'll go with the Black Dog. I think if I recall right, there's kind of a... They veer back into a whole lot of love at some point in there. But here it is. Actually, no, that's not here. It is yet. That is otherwise it for episode 119 of Ramble On Radio. Check rambleonradio.com for notes in this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I make mention in today's podcast. I will do everything I can in the next couple of days to get those links to the sites where you can buy some of those recordings we talked about. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. It helps their algorithms find us, find me. Listen to Stitcher Radio. You can listen on Spreaker, Spreaker. And if you go to Spreaker, follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. You can download this from I Am Brian Dammit on Podbean, and you can check out Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 119. And this is from, I got to get the date right. I got to get the date right. February 10, 1975. Capitol Center, Landover, Maryland. Black Dog.
Gonna make you cool. I just said the way you swing. Gonna make you burn. Gonna make you stay. I cry when you walk that way. But your honey drip, I can't keep away. Got a flaming heart, can't get my fill. Eyes are shot, burning red, dreams of you all through my head. Down and down. Spent my money and took my car. Started telling a friend she's gonna be A. Now I don't know, but I've been told a big leg woman ain't got no soul. I meet a girl to hold my hand. Won't tell me no lies, make me a happy man. Thank you very much. Too much. Too much.
Switch off the internet.